We continue our series of candidate forums here on Central Time. Today's race is Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. For the last 35 years, the seat has belonged to Republican Tom Petri, but the longtime congressman announced earlier this year that he won't be seeking re-election. So for the first time in a long time, the seat is up for grabs, and three candidates have lined up to try and take it.
Democrat Mark Harris and Republican Glenn Grothman are the two major party candidates in the race. Mark Harris will join us later in the program. We extended invitations to Glenn Grothman to appear. He was unable to join us.
There's one other candidate in the race, and he joins us first. Gus Fahrendorf is the Libertarian candidate running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District seat. Gus, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Gus, we're going to start with the question we're asking everybody. Why are you running? Why are you running in this case for Congress?
Why am I running? Just kind of personally have a calling for it. I don't know why. Literally, I woke up several months back in February, and I thought, it's just time to do something. So I filled out my form way before Petri said he was going to leave, and the other people jumped in. To answer the question, though, it's just the government doesn't seem to be doing its job. And it's personally, I believe the government's job is to kind of stay out of the way and get things done. I mean, the government's just too huge. It's too big to work. And so, in essence, I'm running to go repeal laws and slow down the process of passing new laws.
Well, tell us a little more about yourself. More specifically, can you fill us in on your past experience and how that might prepare you for a position in Congress?
Sure. It's kind of simple. Back in 93, I was a senior at UWM. And as a senior, I worked my way through college as a bartender and as a construction worker. So as a senior, my brain started going on getting jobs, and I put out resumes, and it was kind of tough back in 93. And then so what I did was I decided to actually just create my own construction company. So back in 1993, while a senior, I actually built and sold my first home. And I did that continually up until around 2008. And by then, the market was taking a tumble, of course, the housing market. However, by then, computers have became quite a hobby for me. So I was able to switch gears in about 2007 and 2008 and jump into computers. So I've been self-employed and an entrepreneur basically all of my adult life. So I've so that's kind of how it qualifies me. I'm just a self-starter, go do things, and obviously with building all those homes and then switching to computers, continually dealing with different types of clients all the time. So I just, now I know how to work with everybody, I would like to think.
Yeah, so you would say that there's a translation there between your experience and helping to make laws in Congress.
I don't want to say helping to make laws. Again, my whole idea is to start repealing the laws. I think when you put law on top of law on top of law, and you have so many laws, all that really does is create gaps and loopholes. I think when you put 10 patches on one meaningful law that is on the bottom layer, it just creates strife and trouble. I mean, look at where we are socially and economically. That's all, you know, law upon law upon law puts us $18 trillion in debt.
Now, across the board from state Senate to the United States Congress, elections are boiling down to two large issues that people care a lot about, jobs and the economy. So we're going to focus on jobs first. What role do you think Congress should play in spurring job creation in Wisconsin and beyond?
I don't think it's the government's role to create jobs. I think it is the government's role to maintain a level playing field where all laws are relevant. Let it be safety laws and finance laws, things like that. However, the government seems to be picking winners and losers at times. So I think it's, in essence, to slowly peel back the regulations that are stifling. And personally, I believe that with all the regulations, some 50,000 pages of regulations, I think it's killing jobs. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know, all of my life, I know the loopholes you have to go through, and there's more and more. And that is why businesses that are just picking up root and going across borders, too many rules. They're going to where it's easier to play.
And there's also a general sense that the economy has improved some since the recession, but it's not maybe at the level that a lot of people would like it to be. How might you try to accelerate the pace of the economic recovery?
The same way. It's not the government's job to start investing financially, because then all it's doing is spending more. And if it spends more, it does one of two things. It taxes or it borrows, but it always goes into the debt. So I think repealing the laws, relaxing on the regulations, you're going to find jobs that will be created. And of course, jobs and the economy are almost one of the same.
Now, as a libertarian, you're clearly in support of less government. Can you talk about a few areas in the federal government that you think could benefit from some scaling back?
Oh, I think the EPA is a huge one. I think there are, it's insane. I mean, now they even have their own SWAT team. So does the FDA. They have their own SWAT team. Department of Education has its own SWAT team. This is just huge, exploding bureaucracies. And those kill. Bureaucracies kill. Everything slows down too much and nothing can get up and running. So, I mean, yes, just take a look at the larger initialed entities and scale back on them and let people go. I mean, there's horror stories with the EPA of where, you know, a person will go out and get a building permit, start building their house. They'll have their house going and done. And then it comes time for a final inspection or for another inspection, and all of a sudden they decide to change it into a wetland after the ball started rolling. It's insane what happens to real people, and it's a shame, and it should be stopped.
Now, being a libertarian in Congress might mean not having a lot of allies from the Democratic and Republican parties. So with that in mind, how do you envision working with both parties and having a productive time in Congress?
Honestly, I think I would have lots of allies from both sides. I'm very fiscally responsible, so there'd be a lot of people in the Republican side that I'm sure would kick in. And then being more socially liberal, I'd be attracting some from the Democrat side as well. I think the two-party system, they're locked in a battle on all fronts. And to put a libertarian in the middle to kind of hold hands with everyone, I mean, it might be easier. I think it's time we try this. We've been here for generation and generation and generation of only the two-party system. And we're $18 trillion in debt. Why keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome? It's nonsensical.
We're going to move on and talk about the budget. Now, as always, there are ongoing concerns about growing national debt and the long-term stability of the country's financial situation. What do you think it's going to take to get the budget back on track?
The budget it has to be gone through with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, as citizens, we can hear what the budget is, and they give us these large overview numbers. And some of them say, the cupboard is bare, we can't have any more cuts. And to me, that's ridiculous. I am sure the budget could be, a third of the budget could be cut out without even really going into the benefits people are getting. I'm just convinced of it. There has to be so many redundancies, they have to be purged. I mean, everything is tied together with it's just being too large. Do I have specifics? Not really. I'm sorry I can't offer very specifics of where I would cut out, but, you know, there are certain pork projects I would take out, I guess. You could start there. You know, the joke with the robo-squirrel costing $347,000 to see how a snake reacts to a robotic squirrel, and heaven knows there's thousands of those things, just these little pet projects that they can be shelved.
Would you consider raising taxes if it came to that?
You wouldn't have to raise taxes. I am not one. I'm not a fan of raising taxes. I am a huge fan of cutting spending. I don't think we have a tax problem. I think we have a spending problem.
Now, on another budget note, let's talk a little bit about Social Security and Medicare. There are question marks hovering over the future of these programs right now. Do you think they're in need of reform? And if so, what would that look like?
Medicaid and Medicare, I would like to have a task force on that. And when people get caught violating the laws of that and just forgery on what they are doing with Medicaid and Medicare, huge, stiff penalties. People go to jail. I think that is the most abused system that we have. And as far as Social Security, that's a problem. I am not for raising the limit on the age. I think the age is just fine. I would go in there, and what I would do is I would raise the cap on it. Right now it's at $118,500. I would raise that ceiling. How far I would raise it, I'm not quite sure, but I would raise it far enough to make it hurt. And by making it hurt, all the people in Congress, the House of Representatives and the senators, they will feel the pressure to fix Social Security by their larger donors. And also, by raising that ceiling, it would make it more solvent. Does that make sense? So it's doing one thing, but returning two ideas.
Okay, we're going to leave it there for now and come back and continue our conversation with congressional candidate Gus Fehrendorf. He's the Libertarian candidate running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District seat, which is being vacated by retiring Congressman Tom Petri. If you've got a question for Gus or you're wondering where he stands on a particular issue, you can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Right now, we're hosting a candidate forum with Gus Fehrendorf. He's the Libertarian candidate running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District seat. If you've got a question for Gus or you want to hear his thoughts on an issue, you can give us a call right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And we're going to go to our callers now. We have John joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, what do you think?
I liked Ron Paul's message about bringing American troops home, as well as like closing down the Federal Department of Education, things like that. And I was going to ask, your guest there, if he agrees with me and agrees with Ron Paul that we should not get in between Russia and the Ukraine, we should not get in between ISIL and Iraq, we should not get in between China and Burma, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We should bring the troops home, close down the Department of Education. They have no business in education. And also the prime point is, the question is that the Federal Reserve Bank, it's a private bank, should we deprivatize it, nationalize it, or get rid of it?
All right, we're going to start with those foreign policy questions there. Gus, what do you think about, for instance, if we start with ISIS, what is your position? What would you advocate Congress do?
ISIS is a tough one. In a nutshell, I agree that we should really mind our own business. We really should pull back from all over the world, and we don't need 1,000 bases. They're over here because we're over there. It's a very sticky wicket now that we are in this situation, which we never should have gotten into. However, we are in it. ISIS seems to be, if all things are true that we hear in the media, ISIS seems to be probably one of the nastiest groups that have ever come up. I'm all for shutting down their supply lines and seeing what we can do to prevent them from coming to our shores. If that group gets too large and their sole mission on this world is to end the United States as we know it, something has to be done. And at the same time, we are not the world's police force. Okay? Does that make sense?
If pressed, would you advocate putting boots on the ground, American boots, to try to stop ISIS?
There's too many variables on that. I can't commit to either one. I would have to know really what's going on. I think boots on the ground could be avoided, which would be my preference, of course. However, I'm not adverse to putting boots on the ground if something needs to happen. It depends on what they have. Do they all, just all of a sudden we wake up one day and we know that they are nuclear armed? Do we know that? Then something's got to happen really fast. But boots on the ground is not always the best and first option.
Well, thank you, John, for your call. We're going to go next now to Dave in Oshkosh. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And also, thank you for having this candidate on here. It's refreshing to see a third-party candidate actually get a chance to speak. My question, and you briefly touched on it, was when we were talking about the economy earlier, I personally believe that it all starts with the Federal Reserve. Our current system that we have is designed to not work for us. And like I said, he briefly touched on it. I was wondering if he could just expand a little bit on what he believes we should do with that as far as revamping it, maybe going back to the gold standard, maybe abolishing it entirely. I don't know. What would he have to say about that?
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. And Gus, what do you think about the Federal Reserve? What's your position there?
Hey, great question, Dave. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate that. The Federal Reserve, as Dave just touched on, it's a private country. It's a company. I'm sorry. It's a private entity. It is not owned by the federal government. Federal Reserve is a very misleading and purposeful name. Federal Reserve was started in 1910 by seven guys. These seven guys owned 25% of the world's wealth. They got together to get to do price fixing so they would not ever have to fight against each other for interest rates for lending out their wealth. In 1913, it became official. The Federal Reserve, its only goal is it's a cartel. And cartels, in the first place, are illegal. The Federal Reserve does nothing for us and for our money except create inflation. In 1971, when we got taken off the gold standard, if you were to see a pie chart, or not a pie chart, but a bar graph, and you could just look right across it, and you could see that thing do the old Al Gore hockey stick. Right at 1971, and then more so at 1975. Right off the charts. The Federal Reserve has to be abolished, period. We have to tie our money to something of real world value. Gold, silver, I'm not quite sure, but money has to be tied to something with a value. You can't just print money or crank numbers out on a computer and then have the government tell the world what it is worth and how much it should cost. It doesn't work that way. Fiat currencies have never lasted for very long, and ours, obviously, is on the way of the Weimar Republic. And I agree with Dave, the Federal Reserve, it's time for it to go.
Well, thank you for your call, Dave. And Gus, let's talk health care for a moment. Now, as it stands, the Affordable Care Act is law. Not everyone is happy with it. Do you think the law should stand as it is? Does it need changes, or would you suggest repealing?
I would like to get it repealed, have something in its place, but that's not going to happen. So let's assume that I do win this election and District 6 sees that I am the better candidate and decides to vote me in. We would have to work with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, as it is today. What I would like to see changed, the number one thing that would have to be changed in my mind, since appeal is not going to happen, is we have to open it up to more health providers. More and more insurers have to get on board. Okay, that is step one. Step two, we have to open up across state lines. Insurers have to be able to insure people in all 50 states, so we create good competition. Also, the medical procedure has to be open to all 50 states, again, to get competition. Nothing brings us closer to perfection than competition. Look at it in the Olympics. Look at it in sports. Look at it with MP3 players. Competition is what brings perfection. That's all. Anything else?
That'll do it for that. And we're going to move on to another area that is on a lot of people's minds right now, and that's the Ebola outbreak. Now, dealing with the outbreak of Ebola in West Africa will be high up on the next Congress's to-do list. What should Congress be doing in order to halt the spread of the disease?
In America or across the world?
Well, it could be in America and policy that works in cooperation with other global health partners.
I would, well, right off the bat, you have to stop flights coming in from West Africa. It may be rude, but it's got to be done. The borders have to be shored up. I know a lot of people like porous borders. I, even as a libertarian, it's a little odd, but I like very tight borders. We have we have immigration law. Going all the way back, we had Ellis Island, and we had Ellis Island for a reason. This was so individuals could be checked. They could be checked to see if they could handle themselves. They could check to see if they were mentally impaired. They could see if they'd have to have a sponsor. They'd have to be able to take care of themselves. And, of course, they'd come in and they'd be checked for disease. We, as a country, America, eradicated many, many diseases, but they're all popping up on our shores again. And Ebola just happens to be one of them. There's more diseases that are going around than just Ebola. Ebola just happens to be the one on the news right now.
Are there other priorities that we haven't touched on yet that you would have as a member of Congress?
The one thing I would really like to do to bringing to Congress is to slow down the passage of bills. And it's a very easy process. The way they do bills now, they'll throw an omnibus bill on the table. Like you look at Obamacare, 2,600 pages, all right, and it's filled with TBAs, to be announced. And then they pass it, and that bill is already up to almost 12,000 pages. So I'm going to run through this really quick, and hopefully I'll remember them all. So you want to slow down the passage of laws, and you do this in several ways. One, there has to be truth in the title of what the bill is. Two, no more bills can be over 30 pages long. Every bill must sit for 30 days with online availability for all Americans to see, and that bill cannot be molested, nor can there be a rider put on it in those 30 days, or else the day starts over. The bill has to be one subject. Again, none of these omnibus bills. A lot of people are like, it's
and
not
Gus,
fair.
And Gus, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. If I could make one small mention.
I'm sorry we're exactly out of time, but we appreciate your time. Gus Behrendorf is the Libertarian candidate running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District seat.